Hello, this is Dr. Joe Taffer. Welcome back to the Modern Spirit Podcast, episode number 20. After some time away, this episode, I have the pleasure of interviewing my close friends and colleagues, people I've worked together with, the Ocotillo Center for Integrative Medicine, that have helped me many steps of the way, and working with our community in Phoenix, Arizona, including the Church of the Eagle and the Condor. It's my friends Ray Baca and Amalia Baca. The interview, Ray takes the lead in this interview to really share his expertise on breath work, you know, drawing upon his lifelong work in martial arts and breath work and traditional medicine and healing, spiritual healing. So Ray kind of guides us, you know, into the wisdom of Amalia Baca, who is a naturopathic doctor with a practice, working in a couple of practices right now and helping a lot of people. And also Ray's wife, supporting him in all the related work, whether it's the breath work or other forms of spiritual support that they assist with in the community. So Maya, you know, she chimes in a bit there and lets Ray take the lead on this one. So I really hope you enjoy this really fascinating exploration into breath work and the wisdom, you know, of connecting to ourselves and to spirit. Here we are back on the Modern Spirit Podcast. Very happy to be back after a long time away. Start doing some more recording again. Very honored to be joined by my friends and colleagues, Ray and Amalia Baca, who are here to share some of their experience with medicine work, with breath work. And it's going to be an origin story. Going to origin story. Get ready for the origin story. So thank you both for being here. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Amalia. Thank you, Ray.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So start us off. You know, Ray, you had started telling me a little bit about, we were kind of getting at, you know, I mean, I know that breath work has become a bigger part of what you're doing. You're doing a lot of things. You do have done many things, but you're doing some breath work and with people, and we're kind of getting back to the origins of that for you, and I guess for Amalia as well, and to hear about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like we grew up at church together, me and Amalia, so we've known each other, you know, pretty much our whole life. Mm. We've been married for like 22 years, and a big part of my life, you know, like we have a teacher that's been in our life. For me, they've been in my life since I was 15. And so I've been training in like Taoist knowledge and Native American knowledge for a long time, you know, like, and, you know, part of that is Amalia came in, and she was really a big integral part of, like, you know, I grew up doing body shop stuff. You know, that's my family's background. And so then, like, you know, I think when Amalia came into my life, she really, like, started moving me into a different direction. And part of that was just like,
because you had already been doing the martial arts stuff as a young person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, before you were working in body shop.
Yeah, no, but I painted my first bike when I was 8.
Okay, anyway, so tough competition.
Right.
So, like, you know what I mean? So then I was working at my dad's
job.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, like, I was still working at my dad's shop. You know what I mean? Like, right. we hung out there a lot.
Okay.
A lot.
So I was always there, yeah. Right.
So it was part of our life, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. So then I grew up to be that, too, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But in the same time, is like, you know, I think our church background really set the focus for us to, like, be more, I don't know, like, our spiritual life to be a little bit more, you know, like, part of our lives, more pronounced, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, like, when me and Amalia got married, and she was introduced to my teacher, you know what I mean? Like, by that time, we were already out of, like, it wasn't really about, I don't know, it's like, you know, martial arts is about defense and all that kind of stuff. But we were already moved past that, you know? Mm. And so then, like, the spiritual aspect of it, because, you know, in the old world Taoist ways, you know, the martial arts teachers are, they're also the doctors of their area.
Yeah.
You know, and so mm-hmm. it's not about fighting. It's about, like building yourself to a point where you can be, like, helpful to people, you know? And so then, like, my life...
Knowledge of self.
Yeah, you know, like self-realized, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then, like, and big part of that is moving energy. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, in that, in the understanding of energy is, like, in, like, how we talk about it or, like, how we were taught, is, like, there's three kind of energies that are very pronounced in our lives. One is your prenatal energy. So basically, like, where the planets were mm-hmm. when you were conceived. Mm-hmm. And it's a fixed energy that, you know, it's like... planets were already there, they already sent you that energy,
right?
And so you can strengthen it and you can keep it at a certain level, but it is what it is. And then I would say the second one is your blood energy, which is your ancestors, mm-hmm. you know, the people who survived, you know, the survivors, and that's your blood. Mm-hmm. And that's also like a fixed energy, you know what I mean? It's like it's in your blood, it's a certain type of way. And then the third way that we learned is your breath, which is like a very integral part of all the spiritual stuff, because that's how you move and create energy, and energy can be created through the breath. Do you see? And so then, like, you know, it's not fixed. So, like, if you want to, you can just survive your life, you know, it's like whatever, it's like you breathe, and that's what sustains you, because, like, unlike the other things like food and water, it's like 3 minutes, they say, pretty much, is like, and then you're dead if you're not breathing.
Right, you know? Right.
So then, like, your body automatically breathes for you, you know?
Right.
And so then, like, when you're, like, doing in the Taoist ways, like, you're cultivating energy. So it's not just, like, allowing the energy to be what it is, and it's not just about physicality, right? Because that's that blood energy, is right. Your physicality. Right. Like, you come with whatever the, you know, the genes that you got. You know, but like breath, it like you can actually take control of it, and through that create not just a mental strength and a physical strength, but actually an energetic strength. And so then, like, for in that way, you're moving from the lower chakras of survival into the heart chakra. And then that when that heart chakra opens, then you move up into the creative energies of the upper three heavens, which is your upper three chakras. And those are creative energies. And so when you really get into it, you know, like, I think what we were taught was, is like, if you cultivate your breath, then you stop surviving and you start creating your life. And it's got to do with more than just, like, you know, of course, like, when you're young and you're starting in the martial art world, it's about, you know, like being strong, right? So then, like, a lot of the breathing and stuff and all that is to learn how to move energy through your physical body. But then there's another aspect where you become disciplined. And so then there's a mental aspect. And so with the breathing, you become, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, like, you become more focused. And your body becomes a little bit more disciplined. And then it moves you into, like, you know, the soul of things. Because, like, you know, we have several teachers, and I'd like to thank all of them for taking us under their wing. You know, you're one of them. And like, you know, like, I think, like, my Uncle Darryl is, like, he says things like, you know, about the silence and the stillness, you know what I mean? But it's like it cultivates something. It cultivates the mind and the body. And then he says, well, it's like, who's listening and to what? Right. You know, is it the mind? Is it the body? But actually, it's like when you start to use your breath to cultivate energy, is like you start to realize it's like it's spirit. It's the greater part of you that runs the mind and the body. And so then, like, those were, you know what I mean? That's like a progression, you know? It's a lot, like I said a lot of things right now, but it's a progression. It's like first you start as a little person, your teacher starts to teach you how to, like, strengthen your body. And you use your breath to make your motions happen, you know? And then also included with that is, like, you know, repetition and disciplining the mind to do something over and over again.
Right.
But then also paying attention to your body and your mind together. And then the third phase is, like, as you get older, like, as those things have come underline, you start to realize that, like, this bigger part of you, the soul, is actually what the goal is, you know? And, like, there's people like, I don't know, like, there's some martial artists, some Brazilian jiu-jitsu martial artist, Rickson Gracie, you know? He talks about how, like, when he's disciplining himself with the breath, you know what I mean? It is mind, body, and then you fall into the spirit part. So you're disciplining those three things, which are also, like, you know, not just that, because we also train yoga, which means, you know, it's union with God, you know, yoga. A lot, like here in the United States, we talk about a like physical thing.
Right.
But actually is like when you learn it from like the Eastern perspective, there's a big portion of it, like the anapana and like all these things, they're about like bringing your breath into the holds and into the motion. Right. So during that is like when you get your mind and your body, and then it leads you to that union to something greater than yourself.
Right.
So these are the things, you know, like, I don't know if that's.
Yeah, no, that's really, it's really good. And I think that's the one thing that, and I don't know, I'll throw something back, is that, because that keeps coming up in the, like, whether it's psychedelic world or these kind of worlds where they're talking about, like, the connection you're talking, what I hear you talking about is like, okay, you know, reconnecting to spirit or being aware of spirit or being conscious of like, you know, developing yourself to the point where you experiencing things beyond yourself, like you said, that kind of, well, some people would call it connection, or you get connected to. And then, you know, that's one of the goals, let's say, of a lot of different healing traditions. And so then with like our friend Adele, like her research, Adele of France, she's saying that, like, okay, the people who are making these gains with the psychedelic psychotherapy, when they look at a group of them, they try to follow all the statistics and all these little measures and surveys that they did with those people. And it's like, well, everybody, they did, like, these people that are being treated for anxiety, for depression, for eating disorders, and everybody that got better, like, they go backwards and they track them back and they say, oh, they all had shifts in emotional processing. It's like, it's really the way from like that subjective description of their life, like the proof that they had a shift that ended up being a long-term shift in their health was this emotional processing shift. So then when they look at this emotional processing, and then there's from their statistics and the questions they ask the people, then they're trying to track back, like, okay, well, what was the key to that? And the thing that, like, that trumped everything, that if you had this, then that means you're going to have emotional processing and then long-term symptom improvement, mm-hmm. was a shift in spiritual well-being. Mm-hmm. And so then that brings me up to like this thing that I'm into right now because of the last diet I had. And it was all about like that connection to something beyond yourself is like somehow, and this is what I'm, you know, allows, is that creates the space and the place for people to have these shifts in their emotional, like, being, life, you know, their journey, their understanding, working out energy inside themselves. It's that connection that seems to allow it. So then another two ways that I thought about it was like, you know, dreams. So dreams is being like, they say, oh, you're just recycling your emotions or just reorganizing emotional experiences of the day. Okay, well, maybe it's good for that, you know. But then meanwhile, there's all this mystical stuff that everyone reports from dreams so much. Mm-hmm. So to me, it sounds like the same thing again. It's like you have to get to this expanded state in order to reorganize some of the emotional parts of your life. I don't know. That's something I've been thinking about. Yeah. Is that related to?
I think so. Like for me, it's like, you know, like the techniques, the breathing techniques that we do, for example, is like, you know, when you see a little baby breathing, you see them breathing through their abdomen. And they don't really have like they don't really have an emotional, like their emotion is like, I want to eat or I don't want to eat.
Right.
That's where their emotion comes from.
Right.
But they're breathing from their abdomen. So what they're doing is they're bypassing. You know, when you see people breathing today, you see them breathing through their chest a lot. You know.
Right.
And our teacher used to say we bypass the pride. Mm. So we bypass the pride and we use the diaphragm, right? Because if you breathe into your chest, then what you're doing is you're breathing into your area where your heart is. Mm. And if you're breathing into the area where your heart is, then emotion is coming, right? And so then if there's an emotion there, it's like that can go up and down until you kind of like get it like leveled out, right? So then when we do the breathing techniques, like for example, different breathing techniques that are out there, is like, you know, like you're using the diaphragm and you're bypassing the emotion of the heart, and like, that's not, you know, you haven't raised up past those first three chakras up into the heart. Mm. You're breathing right into it. So then you strengthen the diaphragm and you start breathing with the lower part, like you start breathing with your ribs, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like that opens you up to this that you're talking about is like, it opens you up to like spiritual experience, right?
Right.
Like, because I always hear people like, oh, I had a, you know, I have insomnia, I can't sleep and all this kind of stuff, you know? But like, you sleep just as, you know what I mean? Like some people, they sleep about the same as they, you know, especially when you're depressed, right? You're going to go to like 12 hour sleeping routines, you know?
Right.
But like a lot of people that say, oh, I can't sleep. But then when you find out, is actually they just go to sleep later and then they wake up later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and sometimes like on the weekends, they sleep longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I think that the, you know, like in Eckankar, they teach you about like the dream state is a spiritual state. And it's just as important because you have a waking day and you have a wake and a sleep day. You know, there's things happening inside of that dream state and it's spiritual. You know what I mean? Like they've actively shown that DMT is being released in the pineal gland during your dreaming. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm not an expert at these things. You guys are the doctors, but
that's what people say. Yeah, they say.
But
that,
they
yeah.
say that that's going on.
Yeah.
And so then, like, you know, I feel like you know what I mean? It's like it's just as important to like, you know, like get to these breathing states. Because,
yeah.
like, when we do the techniques, then the next day, a lot of people will come back and they'll be like, man, I slept really well last night.
Mm.
Well, when you bypass and you start to, like, use your diaphragm, and here again, I'm going to talk about things that are probably more in your guys' realm,
yeah.
is, like, you start to activate your endocrine system. And, like, and you start to activate and produce, like, glandular chemicals.
Yeah.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so then, like, that's, you know what I mean, like, so then, like, once you bypass, like, you know, these depressive states or these anxious states, then you start to lead into, like, this more, like, what you're talking about. Like, you start to open the realm to, like, you know, like, I don't know, self-realization. You know what I mean? Because, like, I think the big thing is, like, most people just live their life the way, there's no handbook, you know? And so then, like, when you start to experience yourself, for example, it's like, okay, like you've been breathing, everybody's an expert, right? 10,000 hours.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But like, but what kind? The kind that your brainstem produces, which is an automatic. It's just about surviving at that point.
Right.
But then when you take control of it and you start to like actually like I said again, like you're like breathing with your diaphragm, you're like squeezing these glands, you're like producing. Well, then like when you start producing those things, like then you get into these higher states of, you know, like, what is the, help me out here, parasympathetic,
mm-hmm.
you know, you turn things, you know what I mean? Your fight or flight goes off,
yeah.
you know, where most people, their flight or fight is always on and you can't pay attention past the physical day.
Right.
But when that turns off, then you can kind of like have an experience, you know, you can start to like experience yourself, right?
Right.
Because a lot of people will say things like, oh, that person made me, but it's like, no, man, it's like, that person can't make you. You know, everything that exists inside of you is just that. It exists inside of you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not from an outside perspective. It's all inner perspective. So then when we start to do these exercises and really experience ourselves, right? Because when I go and we do these breathing classes, it's like we tell people, it's just like everything else that the shamanistic world does. We're just holding a space and showing some kind of way into opening these doors. But your breath is that place where like it can do it for you automatic, but when you take it under your control, then it opens these spiritual, like these
yeah.
spiritual aspects, you know? And so then you do start getting these higher, I don't know, like realms open to you.
Right.
Even your dream states, like people who say, oh, I never dream, all of a sudden, like, you know, they give themselves 1 month of like doing 1 hour of breathing every day. And then all of a sudden, it's like their dream state is a completely different situation. So I think it's like about experience. But like I say, it's like when you start to experience the self, that's what opens these spiritual realms to you.
Right.
You
experiencing
know?
The self.
Yeah. Because like
yeah.
a lot of people like to read books and know these things, but you're just reading other people's experience. You're reading
right.
other people's inner, like right. most thoughts and their... But it's just dust at the end of the day if you don't go home and do it yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So then, like, you get these people that read all these self-help books. Well, those people that wrote those books, they helped themselves.
Right.
But they did those things. So then
right.
reading the book doesn't get you to these higher
yeah,
states.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so then, like, that's the, you know what I mean? Like, we're all, like, me and Maya, like, you know, 1 year we did self-realization. And, you know, Paramahansa talks about is like, you know, just do it, you know, like do, like read the discourse every day, you know, morning and night, mm-hmm. 30 days for one discourse. So you're reading the same thing every day, you know what I mean? But then like that opens something up for you because now you're disciplining yourself and you're giving yourself a chance. And at the end of it, you get this Kriya, which is again, a breathing exercises that help you like self-realize. You know, and I think that's what you're talking about is like getting to these places where like you self-realize that these doors are open to you when you do the work that opens that gives you the key to that door.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And in that work, so doing that work, it's like sometimes there's, I don't know, the few breathworks I've been to, but like in that process, I think somebody else told me the other day, or actually it was Adele again that was talking about when people have a problem accessing the mystical, like they don't want to hear of spiritual, mm-hmm. you know, because of religious trauma or whatever, they don't like to talk about spirituality. So she says, well, now she doesn't challenge them. She's okay, you know, and she'll say something, well, a lot of times in her experience, like people that say that, like they have some kind of emotional block against that. She's like, well, let's not worry about that, but let's just explore. Do you have any emotional blocks, you know? So then when you guide people through some of these processes, like, I don't know, when I go to breathwork sometimes, I mean, people might start crying or release, or I mean, there may be some physical, emotional part of that process of release or working through, or like you said, that work. Okay, the discipline of sticking with it, you know, for sure, is maybe the primary influence. But as they stick with it, like, they go through things, right? They have processes that they experience, or don't you?
Yes. Yeah, and that's their work.
Yeah.
You know,
that's their work.
In the class. Like, you do these things, and it leads you to something, like they say, like, shaman's job is to make you uncomfortable. So, like, you know, why are you trying to get people to these states of uncomfortability is because then something will come up that will trigger other things to open.
Right.
You know, things that they've been pushing to the side.
Right.
You know, like in the holotropic breath work, which is partly what, you know, I mean, we did the legacy training, and like, you know, it's like there's like some major releases that take place there, you know? And it's like like these places open up to these people, and like, you know, like it's so funny to me, like how, you know, like you, when you talk about Stan Grof, it's like he didn't get these things from you. You would think that, well, he's getting these things from like Eastern knowledge, but he didn't. He got it from like watching people do LSD and going to these like panic-stricken points where they're like doing this really like heavy breathing at that point he's seeing, oh, it's like opening up these other places for them, like that heavy breathing actually triggered,
right,
you know what I mean, it triggered something to open, and now like this big thing, this big uncomfortable thing led them to something that they've been hiding from themselves,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
And so those
are like
that's the work is bringing those, and that's like for me, like in the ketamine experience, like it was all about that. It was all about like your sensorium, like what does it feel like, right, to be in your body, to be in your life, like that's your life,
right?
You know, like you can think about and reflect and come up with all these stories about what it might be, what it should mean, mm-hmm. but what it feels like is ultimately what you experience, you know. So then you have to be that feeling, and then acceptance, like that was to me, that was the message, like acceptance is the tangible navigation of let them step forward. In other words, whatever is uncomfortable for you to accept, like that's the leading edge of your being.
Right.
Like that's what's gonna move you towards, like you said, that's the path, that's guiding you towards the realization.
Right.
And so, yeah. So sticking with things, and breath work is an example of a way to do it that you can approach that edge.
You can.
Yeah.
And it teaches you something about yourself, you know? Like, for me, it's like I see, like, you know, when we're doing classes with people, it's like I start real simple. Like, the Buddha is like in the... he taught this technique, you know, it's called Anapana, and it's just like becoming sensitive to the subtle energy of just not, like, you're not doing anything, you're just doing this soft breathing, right? Like really soft and allowing and noticing just like the airflow around your nostrils and trying to become sensitive to the air going in and out just around your nostrils and your upper lip, right? And like I laugh, is like, you know, like it was like the first 4 or 5 minutes seems easy for people, but then after that, like, you know, the mind and the body start, like, you start itching, you start like thinking about the bills, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And so in that progress is like, that's just a little start, right? We gave this little taste of like this technique. And then about 10 minutes in, I switch. And then I'm like, okay, now we're gonna like do these long breaths. You know what I'm saying? And then like they stick with that for 2 or 3 minutes. And then again, you see like the room will start moving and the people will start, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they'll start drifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like start, like, it doesn't matter. It's like putting your attention on something for a certain, it doesn't matter, even with the breath of fire, you know, like when you switch over from Anapana, which is just like paying attention to the subtle, and then you just like go to breath of fire, like, and you're doing that, like, that seems like a relief, right? Because you were just like lost in these 10 minutes of just putting your attention on this subtle breath, and now you're doing like this real strong, you know what I mean? And like, and then like after a few minutes of that, because the mind and the body have this way of, you know, like, we like to talk about things like that, like the mind and the body are the construct of fear, you know. It's like your mind will first go to fear, your body will first go to fear, it gets shocked, that's why you go into this fight or flight, right? And so then like they're in that realm, they keep bringing you back to the possibilities of what has happened or what could happen,
right?
But in the higher way, where you take control of the breath, and like, and you start to go into the soul realms or the spirit realm, then you bypass that and you go into love. You know what I mean? The thing is, like, you enter the realms of eternity that have no fear, you know? And again, it's like that thing that we were talking about is like, that's why we're breathing past the chest. A lot of these techniques are breathing past the chest and going into the lower diaphragm to really activate like this higher part. And like, the mind and the body, a lot of times, are the things that interrupt you. Like, you can't put your attention down for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Because either your body starts to hurt, it's you've been sitting too long, it's hard to hold your back up like that.
Right.
Or, like, you start to drift about, like, oh, man, the kids, where are they right now? Or, oh, man, I'm like 3 weeks late on that payment.
Right.
And, like, where does that come from? You know what I mean? And it comes from the fear of, like, that you're getting to a higher part of yourself, to the inner part, the part that experiences from the inside totally, you know?
And there's a, I don't know, there's a moment, the moment, so this, it's like feeling into yourself, right? Feeling into yourself, and ideally, like doing the work where you can feel into yourself enough that you can feel beyond yourself. Right. So I don't know. That's one way to think about it.
I think so.
Right. And so then that's like, so then, but you got to feel into yourself and do all the work of what it is. I mean, that's, to me, that's what Daryl, I felt like he was saying the other day, was just like, okay, getting into the moment and into, you know, into the feeling and the being, you know, to the extent at which like you maximize your sensibility of the moment, you know? And so then there's a certain like, and versus the other part that you're saying, like the conditioned part, you know, that's trying to protect us, survive, and pattern recognition, or
yes,
this, oh, this is that again, oh, you know. Whereas what this feels like to me, what somebody else, some older, this 88-year-old guru of some friends of mine that I was with in Utah the other day, he was just like, you know, what we should be doing is preparing ourselves for the unexpected. You know, and like, he's like, life's full of surprises. Mm-hmm. Like the history, look at history. Like there's new stuff happening all the time. It's like, that's the real life. So like to be able to meet that, to greet that, to be there. It's like the one thing of like going in there and being and sticking with that, and sticking with that is like, cause it's uncertain. Like, you know, when you really didn't touch the eternal moment,
it opens.
It opens, and there's the certainty is not there.
Right,
and yeah. I think that's, then that's why the mind, you can't really hang your hat on anything. You can be, and you can be open, and you know, develop yourself to be ready, I guess, to respond.
Yeah.
to whatever it is. I don't know. That's kind of what it makes me think of a little bit.
Well, I think it's like the present moment, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I was talking, you know, our friend Ralph, you know, I was talking with him, and then, you know, we really got into this deep conversation, and I don't know, it's like something came up where we were just like, you know, like, instead, you know, like fear of the past, right? Like it brings up fear of the past, is remembering all the trauma, and then like the anxiety of the future, right? And so then like to turn it around and actually remember the future and imagine the past brings you into this present moment. And that, you know what I mean? The present moment is where, like my uncle says, the silence and the stillness, like that opens up the motion of creation. You know, I think that's that place, like when we're going, like that, it's all the same talk, you know, it's about, you know, like when you're silent and you're still, there's still motion going on. Like even on this earth, when we're silent and we're still moving at 70,000 miles an hour around the sun, you know, and at the same time, the earth is spinning. So like really in our silence and our stillness, just being on this planet, you're in motion.
70,000 miles an hour.
Well, whatever it is, I don't know.
That's faster than Top Gun Maverick.
I like to just throw those numbers out there, you know, like, but
it's something like that.
I don't know if it's true, but you know, like, I'm saying
it's really fast.
It's a really big thing, but like, you know, but the thing is like, but the motion that really matters is the inner motion, right? Like, so then that silence and that stillness, it's the inner motion it creates. That's what opens those doors for you to travel to like these, you know, like unexpected realms,
yeah,
like, to open things up for us. Right.
Right.
And so then like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, just like, you know what I think for us, like, you know what I mean? Like I was really surprised, you know, other than, you know, we did like our teacher never let, like we didn't do psychedelics.
Right.
We were with you in 2014,
right. Okay.
When we had a real psychedelic experience. Right. But before that, we did peyote,
yeah,
you know, in a ceremony.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And that didn't, I don't know, like the fire and like the whole thing, it's like, it's almost like you. And it's just like, you know what I mean? Whereas like the psychedelic experience, it opens that door,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you know, you can take more medicine in the teepee and like really get, you know, to, yeah, these other places, but that's not the, I think like, yeah, the way that we learned, it's for families.
Yeah.
You know, like there's kids in there, yeah, they're sitting in the back of
you. You want to have your senses.
So you're like, yeah, a little bit, and too, you know, you gotta, you know, wait for that door to open to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So there's a lot of all of that, you know, you just can't like, whereas like in like the psychedelics, as they've been opened up to us, you know what I mean? That opens a door and like, there's no stopping it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're in there,
right?
You know, so I think that like the breathing, what it does is it helps open a discipline to like, I don't know, I'm not saying that, you know, like I took really well to the things that we did with you down there in,
yeah,
Peru,
yeah,
you know, and so then, and I just feel like, but that came from all the breathing that we did,
right,
and all the sitting and learning the Anapana through, you know, like just Vipassana is like a big thing. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
there's a lot of silence and stillness,
yeah,
happening there.
Sure.
And I'll say this, like, you know, again, it's like, it's related, like the sleeping is related because on the sixth day that I was at Vipassana, I was ready to leave because from the moment that I closed my eyes until the moment that I opened them, it was like some of the hardest dreaming I've ever done in my life. And I was ready to leave, you know, I was ready. And I went, like, I went to talk to the boss man about it, you know, and he didn't have anything. Like, they really want you to be silent, you know.
Right.
And so then their words were, I know my son, like I'm a grown man. I don't cry. Like, I'm ready to cry. I do cry.
All right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't raised like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
like, I'm thinking like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
And it was really hard, bro. Like my dreaming really turned on. Like in,
right,
and I was like, I already did.
But painful material.
It was very painful material.
Yeah.
Like opening up doors
that
were.
That's what he's saying, you know?
Yeah.
That's
and
he's
so.
Saying, I see your pain.
Yeah. You know? And that's what he is, you know?
Yeah.
And, but like, but again, it's like, because you were silent and still, like, I got to the meetings in the morning at 4 o'clock and we didn't finish till 10, and there's only 3 hour breaks in between during the day. Mm-hmm. So that's like
a long time. Yeah,
you know. And so when I came back, I asked my teacher, I was like, what was that? Like, I was ready to go, you know. Like, there was a divine intervention, by the way. Like, you know, these deer surrounded me in the forest.
Oh wow.
No, I'm serious. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
And like, I'm walking out, and I just told Creator, like, you know, I'm your favorite son. Like, you don't want me to leave here, then you need to do something about it. Mm. And I walked into the forest over there, and like, and I'm just like crying in the forest by myself, you know. And then I look up, and there's a mama deer right in front of me, and I was like, loud and clear, I got you. Mm. You know, I understand. And I turn around, and then there was a little baby deer right behind me here. And I'm like, how am I going to get out of here? You know what I mean? And then I turn around, and there was the twin was over here. Mm. It was like three deer. Like, that was a big deal, you know? And so then I made my 10 days, you know, whatever. But there was a lot of silence and stillness. And like, even though I had that experience, like, it didn't stop those dreams at night.
Yeah.
And I would just say that at this point, I had already been, like, I had been working on my dream states for a long time with Ekinkar. You know, it's like, it was a big deal. Like, so then I never had. And so then when I came home and I talked to my teacher about it, because, you know, like, we consider ourselves eternal dreamers. That's where we do our soul work, mm-hmm. you know. And so then, like, I talk about it, and he was like, well, he goes, when you sit and you earn it, then your karma's paid through that dream state. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's soul stuff. You're doing a purification during the day for hours.
Right.
And then you go and you've done things in lifetimes and in this one, you know? Yeah. And so then, like, a big payment was being, like, well, at least that was how they were explained it to me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so then, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I believe in the mystical. And I believe that our breath is the door to those mystical things. That's why, even though, like, we never did psychedelics until, like, you know what I mean? Like, by that time, it's like 2014. I already been with my teacher for like 25 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but it really helped there. And then, like, it really helped other doors to open. And then it's been guiding me, like, the whole time. Because, like, actually, like, you know what I mean? I was a car guy for my whole life. And now that's not part of my life that much. You know what I mean? And so it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you're saying, these doors opening and all these different ways to open the door, you know, like, whether that's through the early training or the, you know, breath work focus stuff, or, you know, some other doors open in Peru with ayahuasca. But the whole point is, it's like being, and what is that? It's just like, okay, so sometimes it's like there's this pain, this work to go through, or some process to go through to be able to feel into yourself, you know, completely. You know, if there is pain, if there is trauma, if there is karma, if there is ancestral stuff, is there more, you know, whether that's the, you know, like you said, the star alignment or your bloodline, or, you know, how you've been living, you know, things that have happened to you in the course of your life. And so there's a process to go through, and it's like trying to help people. And that, you know, then a lot of people, I guess, spiritual traditions say, well, that is what life is about, right? Is to experience yourself to the maximum potential that you can. So then that might mean, you know, feeling into some trauma or feeling into the energy or releasing it, processing it, paying karmic debts, whatever you want to call it. Processing, digesting, forgiving, releasing, growing, you know, transforming, transcending, like, doing all that, and then to be connected to, I guess, what's beyond yourself. The more access that you can have.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it keeps guiding you to live a more realized life. Like, you know, okay, whether that's not doing car work anymore, doing this kind of work, and you feel like, wow, it's more conscious, and then, you know, but then, like, as our friend Martina says, because people are like, well, why would you want to do that kind of work, or, you know, the struggle of doing, working on yourself, or whatever, not that it's always hard, but sometimes it can be very difficult, is, like, to improve the quality of your life.
Right.
Like, in other words, like, to reduce your suffering, number one. And number two, also to improve the quality,
Right.
Right. So it's like, okay, well, while you're here, while you're existing, don't you want to, if it could be easier, if it could be better, if it could be more fulfilling, then I guess that's what you're working toward. I mean, that's why.
That's right.
Right?
For experiences, everything. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, this part, like,
for experience,
know,
to experience
right,
it.
To experience it, and, yeah. And you know what I mean? And to really, like, you know what I mean? Is like this, there's some people who say, oh, don't do this. And, like, have you ever done it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't. So then where is your conversation coming from?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So first, like, try it and try to get it into your life. And I, you know, like, a lot of the talk, I'm in that world, right? Like, I'm in that spiritual world. That's how they brought me up like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would just say, science is catching up. Like, this is the time of information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're like I. People always say, "Oh, we're so bad right now. Everything." So no, actually, it's like our people, whatever that is. You know, we have a big mix. You know, but most of our people is like they didn't have freedom of like just looking whatever they wanted up. Like right now in my phone, I have a whole, you know, like library. Mm-hmm. Of everything.
Yeah.
And like YouTube University and Google University will teach me anything I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would say that
that's pretty miraculous, really.
It is.
And how fast it happened.
And it's all right, you
right?
know. No, it is fast.
Isn't that fast? Like from
the, like,
last,
you know, there's like
20 years or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think they say, like, you know, just like as a metaphor, they say, like, for the first 50,000 years of like civilization, we
yeah.
had one bag of information,
right?
And then in the last 100 years, you know, there's like 50 bags, and now there's 50 bags every minute,
right?
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
like
yeah.
that's a lot of information,
yeah, yeah.
And we're allowed to do whatever we want with it, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like it's like opening people's ability to, like, you know, like I, you know, like Amal is a doctor, and sometimes our friends say, "Hey man, it's like I read this thing. You're a doctor. I'm sure you hear this all the time." It's
sure.
like, "Hey man, it's like I was looking on Google and
yeah.
it was like, you know what I mean? Like, dang, Google's a doctor too, you know?"
yeah.
And that's a big deal. Like, you know what? It's not always like it's probably better to go see the professionals. You know what
and
I mean?
Eventually, the Star Trek AI,
they're gonna right. catch up,
you know,
right?
They get close, yeah.
yeah. But
well,
I mean,
at first they go after the cash registers.
Right.
and
yeah,
then...
Exactly. And then it comes, right? But the reason why I'm saying that is because a lot of the beginning part of this is like, you know, because we're our training. We grew up in church and we have a teacher who is a very spiritual, like that was the aspect, you know, like a lot of people think martial arts is about fighting. It's
mm-hmm.
not. It's about getting it. But like I said, science has caught up, and there's these people, like I read about this guy, his name is James Nestor. He wrote this book about breathing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
he's like, I think he's a doctor, but he's, you know, he like puts all this stuff, and he's like, why, like, all these people know that, you know, this is actually like very beneficial. Why aren't we talking more about it? And so he wrote a book, and then like all his colleagues were like, you're writing a book about breathing? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
yeah,
man, but you know what? There's a lot of information there that's like with science, you know what I mean? Like, for example, it's like, you know, like mouth breathing. That doesn't, that's like a, you know, like, I think Wim Hof, he tells people, like, I don't care how you breathe. It's like, just get the air in, right? Because you got to do these 30 breaths.
Right.
But like, there's this research that mouth breathing is the most horrible of the things, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And actually, like the Apache Native brothers, like they used to put a cup of water in their kiddo's mouth, and then they had to run 20 miles, and they better have that same amount of water when they get back. It's so funny, like that technology was already around, but now they know that like closing your mouth and breathing through your nose is actually like the most beneficial of all the breathing, because like you have you know, you guys know better than me. Again, I'm talking like, you know, from my aspect of knowing.
Right.
But like there's like a billiards ball size cavity inside your nose, right? And it's shaped like a shell, they say.
Mm.
Like a seashell, right? Mm. And so then when you breathe through your nose, it actually like cleans things, it like moisturizes things, and then like you actually receive more oxygen into your body in a better way,
mm.
you know? And so a lot of these like breathing techniques that these scientists are talking about are actually in line with the old Eastern religions or knowledge, you know what
right.
I mean? And so then, like, and I just thought it was really, it's really fun that actually a lot of people, even like, you know, like even Stan Grof is a doctor, you know, but he's teaching these breathing techniques for not just health, but like for trauma reduction, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people like that. What's the other guy from this movie? You sent me a link to somebody. What's the guy?
Mark Straub?
No, he's
the one that's doing the breath work.
Yeah, he's doing the breath work. But there's just like a lot of like educated people who are now like teaching breathing or like to reduce stress. So not just like, you know, not for these big things that I'm talking about. Like I'm talking about like, you know, this other aspect because that's, you know, that's how we were brought up. But I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people right now, and, like, they're trying to get more people to breathe because it's for free. Once you learn the technique, it's for free.
Right.
And, like I say, like, Wim Hof, he's out there, like, he's got free apps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's an app, and he teaches you these techniques. You know, like, they're, like, again, YouTube University, I looked. There's, like, if you put breathing techniques, like, you can scroll for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
And so this is free too.
And Vipassana is free.
Yeah. It's all donation based.
And so then like it's just a chance to experience something. You know, I would say like if there was some thing that I'm trying to like say here today, it's like give yourself a chance, you know, like you know, like I have these classes and me and Amalia, we hold these classes and they're 1 hour, you know? Yeah. And people think I've had so many people that say it's like I can't breathe for 1 hour, but they do. You know, but then that's in a like a together setting, and so then like we feed each other, right? Like we're one, you know, there's a group of two. That's where the creators at. They say that in the good book, you know. Mm. And so then like that, we feed off of that energy with each other. But then I tell the guys, you know, like, hey man, it's like 3 minutes is all I'm asking for your homework every day. 3 minutes, doesn't matter what kind of breathing, just put your attention on your breath for 3 minutes. And you know, they're honest. People are honest and they'll come back and they're like, hey man, I didn't put my attention on my breathing 3 minutes this whole week. But then after like 2 or 3 months of being there, you know, like they start to, because they realize when they leave the nights that they leave from breath work, they sleep better. The next day is like a softer day for them at work. Like there's all these benefits, you know what I mean? And so then like, I would say like all this talk is really, I would say for me, is to leading people, like to give themselves a chance and to let go and just, you know what I mean? Not with anyone in specific. I'm not, you know, I said a whole bunch of people that are doing breathing techniques and a whole bunch of places where we've learned them, but like they're infinite. Like it's infinite because there's so many ways to put your attention on your breath, you know? And so I say like, if there's one thing that's a takeaway from this, it's like, just give it a try, you know what I mean? You don't have to go cold plunges. Like, that's an extreme thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it, like, helps you with your breath, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's, like, so many people, like, the Navy SEALs, they don't learn anything that isn't useful. And they put in hours in breathing techniques. David Blaine, like, he's a magician, but, like, he's in the cast of, like, Houdini. Mm-hmm. And you know, and these guys, you know, they can hold their breath for like 6 minutes, you know. There's deep divers that hold their breath for longer than that, you know what I mean? They hold their breath for amount of times that science says really isn't possible, but now we know that it is, you know.
Right.
And so then like, and I think like Wim Hof is a unique human being, but like what he did is like one of the things that I think he did is like just like a Stan Grof is like, he gave people a glimpse of what is possible, like more than possible, you know what I mean? And so then like we're realizing that the human experience is nothing without the experience.
Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. I'm just getting, and it's so important because I don't know, there's just so much to experience, you know. I think nowadays we can get stuck on the computer or whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of ways you can just kind of, your world can shrink up and you kind of lose touch with what you might be able to experience. And I think that I did a 9-day sit last year in Colombia with this meditation sit, and that's what I got out of it. I was just happy to experience life again. Mm-hmm. It went from like being at the beginning of just being stuck thinking about what I always think about or what I tend to think about, or, you know, the future of the past, all that kind of stuff, to halfway through starting to like, whoa, see the world again. Like start to experience life again. I don't know, something like that. Still working through stuff, but experiencing more. What about you, Molly? Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, just right now, you talking about that just brings me back to like my Vision Quest experiences. Mm-hmm. And how that is in itself like an altered state of consciousness.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, both of you have done those. And so, but I experience the same thing where you get to a point where you're you get rid of like this mind running around so much, because you kind of strip yourself and you're there by yourself in the silence and the stillness, and you become so much more aware of the present moment, right?
Yeah.
Like each moment, you know, you're like, okay,
yeah,
I can get through this, right, at some point. So, you know, and you come back from that, you know, and in our teachings, you know, you were in the spirit realm, right? And you're coming back and you're joining the material realm, and you know, I feel that sense of like newness, you know, of awe, more awe, you know,
right,
things, you know, of,
right,
of just, you know, things that I think a lot of times we take for granted, because it's like, you know, we get used to having things around us all the time. And I think that kind of is something that we do with our breath. You know, we take for granted that it's just there, and you know, but like, it keeps us alive. It's, you know, but it, there's so much more there. It's such a much more powerful gift. We forget about it so easily, right? Because mm-hmm. it's automatic. So, but yeah, it can be very transcendent as well. So,
and that, like you're talking about, like opening up experiences of awe. You know, mm-hmm. so you see the children, the kids, they're just like, oh, you know, they're
right,
just in awe, just looking around. They're just the way their brain functions, the way their being is, and then we get caught up in a different kind of perception, you know, and then reopening that perception back up to be able to feel that, like that it don't just, it's not, you're just, you feel it, I guess, you know, there's just more to
right.
the moment
right.
to experience. Like you said, you're in Vision Quest, you're sitting there, and it just, like what you just said made me think of just like the plants, you know, that when you're sitting in the same spot for a few days, and like the tree that's next to that spot, like it's your neighbor.
Yeah.
There it is every day, mm-hmm. all day. Like there's, you know, just its presence becomes so much more obvious to you because you stop to be with it.
Right.
You know, just like all the rest of this mm-hmm. stuff that we're talking about, like stopping to be with yourself, and then the presence of all these trees inside of us, you know, and then the trees of the universe. It's just, it seems so simple, but like you said, the science is catching up. Like, meanwhile, we have all this information, and all, you know, the information is pointing people back mm-hmm. to simple things. You know, that is a big theme
right.
that we're seeing over and over again. It's like, yeah, okay, we're learning all these things, and whether it's like, okay, turning off the oversympathetic drive and more parasympathetic, or, you know, then getting which chemical and which gene and which, you know, you get all the whole thing, and then it's back to breathing.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
the whole time. The origin story.
The origin story.
That's right.
The breath.
Yeah.
The breath.
Yeah.
It'll make you a superhero.
To make you a superhero.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Wow. It's like, I think Wim is proof of that.
Yeah.
You
right.
know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's got like 27 world records. Like,
yeah.
He's set his mind on things, and
yeah.
he went with it, but he used his breath to guide him there.
Right.
You know, and so.
And it does, yeah, it does, once again, like kind of something we touched on was like, there is some kind of mystical access, you know, that people experience mm-hmm. in these kind of, you know, doing this kind of practice.
Right.
And it's funny how this mystical access then is somehow linked to the superhero capacity.
Right.
You know, that's my question. It's like, okay, that's the realm of possibility, you know, to open up to the realm of possibility. Well, then we have to be able to be present to the moment.
Yeah.
To the maximum of our capacity, because that's where the possibility is.
Right.
Right. So then the breathwork practice, the origin story. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Huh? Is there more? Any more comments? Are you?
I'm good.
You're good? You have anything else you want to add, Ray? Or?
I don't know if I want to add anything else, just to say, like, you know, like, again, like, you know, like, we talk about mystical things and spiritual things, right? But like, that's just our upbringing,
right?
But I would say that, like, just in the breath is like, just to bring a mental state, like a healthy mental state.
Yeah, you
know what I mean, it's nice to be the superhero.
Yeah,
but it's also nice to just like come home and hug your kids in a good way.
Of course,
and be there for them presently. You know what I mean? That also is a, you know what I mean, like. That's a superhero too, you know, like being present in the moment to give yourself to the ones that you love. You know what I mean? That's what it's like. That's what your inner experience is like about.
I think that's an extremely important point. You know, and that's about, there's like improving the quality of your life, of which includes your health, but also includes your capacity to love. You know,
yeah.
It's like, to put it, I think that's a simple way to connect the dots, you know, for people. It's like, oh, like you said, to be able to be present to their loved ones in a way that they're going to feel good about, you know, that they can think back, yeah, that was there, you know,
yeah,
with them. We shared the precious moments.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Which, it's, you know, strengthens the relationship and community, right?
Uh-huh.
So as a whole, so I think that's very important as well, you know. I think strengthening yourself, you strengthen the circles around you.
One of the things we say is, like, you know, we teach selfishness, you know, because first you have to strengthen yourself, because you have to love yourself first before you can love somebody else, because you can't give what you don't possess.
Right.
You know, and so then, like, that's, you know, like, it sounds like selfishness, but it's not like this is mine and not yours. Right. It's actually, I built my love up to the level where I know what love is. You know, it's like, love yourself like you love your little babies. Mm-hmm. You know, we all, you know, some of us don't have kiddos, whatever, but we have kiddos in our lives. You know, there's little babies that, you know, it matters to you that their well-being, and like you would give your life for that little baby. You know what I mean? That's a big kind of love, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then, like, to love ourselves that way, you know what I mean?
Right.
To turn it in that way, because then, like, what... Like I said, it's like at the beginning, I was talking about like bypassing the heart, because it is emotion. But then, like, when you get the survival under control, it opens the door to the heart, to real, like a real fulfilling of the heart, right? Mm-hmm. And now the emotion isn't just whatever the body and the mind want it to be. It's actually the real super love that, you know, I love myself and I know how to love others. You know, I think that's a, you know, like, for me, and like, I love my family and everything, you know, and so it was a big lesson for me to learn how to, like, you know what I mean? I think that's what these things have taught me, is like, because I was missing that, you know what I mean? I knew how to love other people, but there's like a lacking in that kind of love, because it's coming from, like, you know, it's like, you know, you want, you know, but then, like, when you learn to love yourself, then the way you love others is the way they want to be loved, you know? And so then, like, when you get to that point and you open the heart that way, then those upper creative heavens open to you. You know, those upper three chakras, they're creative. But first you got to, like, tame the surviving.
Right.
You know? And that leads you to your heart.
Right.
Anyway, I was like...
No, that's beautiful, Ray. That was really good. Huh? Oh, okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up there.
They know.
Okay, thank you both.
Thank you
for being on the podcast. This is going to be a great one for a lot of people. I think it's really beautiful.
Thank you,
Joe. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you for the opportunity to share. Sure. Mm-hmm.